Hello, boys and girls. Agustin Peralt today is going to talk about how he transformed his professional life and his personal life after a crisis in 2012. He left the corporate world after 15 years in a management position and decided to help other people transform their professional lives too. Today he works with big leaders and organizations and universities in Spain. I met him through Linked English, our online English school where he was a student taking business English classes. And as you'll see, his English is great. And he's always teaching us a lot. We're just doing the English part, but he's the one who's teaching. With all his experience and his knowledge. He published two books. We talked about time management, how to be more effective, suggestions that he has for people in their 20s who want to, or anyone who wants to make a professional transition, how he manages living in Valencia and working in Barcelona, the power of giving, among many other things. So enjoy this conversation with him as much as I did. And check out his website, agustinperalt.es, so you can find much, much more there.
We do not manage time, we manage energy. Because when your energy improves, the quality of your time is much better. So you can find people that work in 6 hours with a fantastic level of energy equals 10 or 11 hours of others with bad energy.
Yes.
So there's much to do about improving our physical, emotional, and cognitive energy. What I do is I help top executives to improve their capacity when planning and improve their effectiveness with my own methodology, which is called FASE method. And what I do normally is one-on-one meetings with them or even workshops for teams on a daily basis. That's what I do. I help them to transform the way they manage their time. And that's it.
Right. So you would say that your biggest expertise is helping others manage their time?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, about what you mentioned at the beginning, my career, I used to be an executive till 2012. That I was fired in the company that I was working for last 10 years. 2012 in Spain, it was January, it was probably the biggest economic crisis that this country has had. So it was a really tough moment for executives when they were fired. So I had to start what we call a reinvention, a career reinvention. Mm-hmm. And it took me like, it was a huge effort and it took me some time to solve my problems, personal and professional, because when problems come, they all appear together and it was really difficult period. Mm-hmm. So I decided to change my career 100%. I decided not to be an executive anymore and to try to help others in the things that I've learned and the things that I did wrong, which were many. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Was time management one of the things that you used to do wrong?
No, but about time management, it was in this crisis, personal and professional crisis, I had so many problems that I had to become a master in managing my time because I had to overcome many, many different issues. So I started reading about time management. So something that I start learning for my own need, call it serendipity or whatever, but at the end, I found out that executives, they have many problems, but probably the biggest one was how to manage their time and how they plan their life and how to be able to balance between personal and professional life. And that's why I start coaching people about this topic, because I know both. I know what's the life of an executive from my previous career, and also I think I learned a lot about managing the time and facing big problems. So all together, I create this methodology.
What's the name of the methodology?
Yeah, it's in Spanish we call it FASE. In English would be FACE, but with F, because it's an acronym. An acronym which means F is focus, A for attention, S for systematize, and E for energy.
Right. So before, I want to talk about the methodology, but before, I want to know about this difficult moment that you said that you went through in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of the people who hire me as a coach, they are trying to overcome difficult moments in their career. And maybe there's something that you can say that can inspire them to do the same thing. So what do you think, looking back, what do you think worked well? Like, what were things that you did that worked well?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would like to say what I did wrong.
Okay.
To reach that situation, or to reach out, to have so many problems. I didn't pay attention to myself. What I call to go to the balcony and to pay attention to oneself and to see how things are going, because I was overwhelmed, stressed, cortisol, irritable, sensitive, and it was obvious that I had to make decisions and I didn't do them. I just tried to keep on working, and that was not the solution at all. That's one thing. And second thing is some good friends and some coherent people tried to help me and to tell me that I should make decisions, I should leave my job, I should be paying more attention to my family, but I didn't listen to them. I even reject them. So the first thing that I would like to give an honest advice is we have to pay attention to ourselves from the distance, as William Ury says in his book, Getting to Yes, in negotiations about going to the balcony and to keep some distance. In life, we have to do the same. Every month, we should take 3 hours to reflect about our life with pen and paper. I like to say that what is not written is that it does not exist. So that's first thing. Second thing is that...
So first thing, if I understand right, is listen.
Yeah, but that's listen to others.
Listen to the people who like you.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
No. And but, who are coherent, people with real common sense.
Right.
Yeah.
People that you admire, that you think really, really admire you back for some reason, listen to them, right?
And also, observe yourself from the distance.
With pen and paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And you said three things already, not one. And you said spend time with family.
Well, that's another thing. But that's not... Well, that's not another thing. That was the consequence. There are some times that you are so much stressed, overwhelmed, that you think that the solution is to keep on working, and that's the opposite. Because you need what we call off stage, which is time to rest. And you work more, and that's exactly the opposite that you are going to get. It's the hamster wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So, off stage means family, friends, leisure time, rest, sports, some beers, which is good also.
Yes.
And yeah, and that's the first advice. And second advice is that when you have everything in our mind is heavy. When we have problems, our ideas, we call in Spanish, comerse la cabeza, like mind eating. I don't know how you call it in English, if there's any expression about that. But everything in your mind is looks bigger than it is. So again, pen and paper. You have three problems, as I had. One, no job. Second, bankruptcy. Third, divorce and sons. First is these three problems, pen and paper. What would you like to reach, to solve, to overcome, and an action plan. And when you have that in front of you, things seem different. Mm-hmm. So that's first thing.
Do you think that's something that somebody can do alone, by themselves, or do you think that's where our job as coaches come in? Do you think it's, because not everybody can afford a coach. And I always say there are some people around everybody mm-hmm. who could do that for them if they can't pay a coach. What do you think about that? Or do you think it's something you need to do alone?
No. I mean, if you have enough money to pay a coach, everything is going to be much faster, much solid, and for sure the probability of success will increase. And I think it's not that expensive to hire a coach if we think that as an investment, not as a cost, because for real it's an investment. In my case, I couldn't afford it. And if I'm honest, at that moment, 2012, in Spain, coaches who could help you for this kind of problems, there were not so many. So I didn't even have the idea. Eh? It's amazing, but it is like that. So, yeah, if you can afford it, hire a coach, because the process is going to be faster and with more probability to succeed, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. So that was first thing. Second thing is that when you are under a circumstance like mine, when you are with a big crisis, your energy is awful. It's really low. Physical, emotional, cognitive, because all the three of them are related to each other. So we also need to improve our energy, because the energy is your capacity to work, and you are going to have to work a lot for a long time, because this was, for me, this was like the Himalaya. So I have to go uphill. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was going to take many months to be able to find a real solution for all those problems. So I didn't feel like going for sports. I didn't feel like reading. I didn't feel like doing anything, because you really feel bad.
Depressed, right?
Yeah. Not depressed, but nearly. You would prefer to be all day sleeping, but that's the easy thing. To be at home watching TV, Netflix, and saying that life sucks. Eh? I can remember that I read an article from a writer, I think he's a psychologist, which is John Kotter, and he talks about the difference between internal locus of control versus external locus of control. External locus of control is when things go wrong, you are really good at blaming others, saying that life sucks, that you don't deserve that, but you do nothing. Internal locus of control is the opposite. Is I build my future, and I believe that my future depends on me. So that was for me an important moment when I decided I'm not going to be saying that life sucks and that I don't deserve this, and after working so much, I'm in bankruptcy. No, that's finished. what I'm going to do is I admit my own responsibility, and I'm going to take into action to solve this.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really important moment.
Right.
Yeah.
So what was it that happened that really made that shift?
A conversation with a good friend that told me that if my attitude was going to be like that, I was going to lose the only thing that I had, which was good friends and my sons. So the moment I say not anymore, when I had a bad day, I'm going to be able to complain till next morning, but next morning I'm going to wake up and say, let's go for it. And that's what I did.
So stop complaining.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people do, right?
Complain. That's the easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When the easy thing is to stay at home crying.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start step by step, we call it incremental margins, which is every day one step further, every day small percentage of improvements. So you see how things start looking better. And that also helps you to improve your own state. So this is a virtuous circle versus a vicious circle, which is the opposite.
Right.
Yeah.
So you said, let's review here, yeah, to make it easier. Listen.
Yep.
To others that you admire, listen to yourself. Spend time with your family.
Yeah.
Sit with pen and paper.
Yep.
And make an action plan.
Yeah. Assume your responsibility.
Assume responsibility.
Yeah. You have to be a little bit optimistic, realistic optimism, but you have to be optimistic, because if not, this is the fulfilled prophecy. So mm-hmm. if we have to decide what's better, to be over pessimistic, over optimistic, choose over optimistic.
Right. So who is Agustin today?
Well, I'm a happy person with a fantastic professional life. I say that every day for me is Friday. My professional life is a vehicle for my personal purpose, which is help my children. Well, not my children, my boys, big boys. They already.
How old
boys.
Are they now?
Well, 19 and 17.
That's
my
great.
Big boys, to help them to be prepared for the future, which is something that really motivates me. Also, my fiancé, that I'm really happy with her. We really get along. And
I love her. She's great.
Yeah, she's a great person, and she really understands me and adds me value every single day. Hopefully, she says the same. And that's it. That's it. Everybody's fantastic. I'm earning my life really well.
And you travel a lot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's the only thing. I travel every single day. I'm out of my own city, which is Valencia, but I return on Fridays. And also my professional purpose is fantastic, because I try to help others to improve their work-life balance, their happiness at work, so they can go back home on Fridays feeling that they work hard, but things are under control. So it's in my personal purpose and professional purpose are really nice. And that's something that I always ask people. Do you have your personal and professional purpose? Do you have one? And they say, yes. I say, can you show it to me? No, I can tell you, I have it in my mind. No, that's not. Write it down and show it to me. So
do you have any format that you ask them to write it down for you?
Yeah, it's always the same.
So people who are listening can try to do the same
thing?
Yeah,
it's always the same.
So what does a first session look like, when you ask them? Because I'm going to tell you, what I ask my clients is I ask them about their perfect professional future 5 years from now.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And that's then, the vision.
Yeah. A lot of times it surprises me that most of them don't know.
Yeah.
And they say, I'm hiring you to help me get clarity
exactly.
on this. And the smaller group knows, and they're hiring me to help them achieve that faster. But most of them don't know. Yeah. So what do you do in the first session? Do you do that too?
If I'm honest, normally these conversations only appear when there's a big professional crisis. Normally they hire me to solve a problem about effectiveness and the way they manage their team that they need a different way because they don't know how to manage time, they don't know how to manage their team, they know how to manage themselves, is the self-leadership concept. But sometimes when we try to overcome this problem, we find out that there's a bigger problem, which is that they are not happy at work and at their life because they don't even know their real purpose. So it's impossible that they are effective if they don't enjoy their work or if they don't enjoy their personal life. When that problem appears, what I ask them is, give me a definition for what do you do for your living? But from a perspective of what you give to others, and also in their personal life, what motivates you considering what you do for others? That's a different approach. If you remember what I just mentioned about my personal and professional purpose, is to try to help my kids, my big boys, to be prepared for their future and to overcome their future difficulties, to be success, understanding to have success, understanding success as being happy with their personal and professional life, not being the top executives or the big entrepreneur. No, it's being happy with their lives. And also, at the same time, my professional life is to help others to balance their personal and professional life, to avoid stress, to avoid cortisol, and to manage their career. So it's always a definition, but from the perspective of giving to others, which is the point that people forget.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most important one.
Yes. That's very interesting, because then they feel useful.
Absolutely.
To others.
Absolutely. And that's self-motivation, and that's amazing. And if you get well paid, that's
even better.
Yeah.
It's almost like you could do it for free.
Absolutely.
Just because of the feedback that you get from making other people's lives better.
But if we can charge, it's better.
Yeah. if you can work in Barcelona, even better.
Yeah. Barcelona is a fantastic city, and I really get along with people from Catalonia, and I'm having a fantastic moment there. Yeah,
that's great. So if I ask you about your perfect professional future, there's the ambulance. So your perfect professional future 5 years from now.
Yeah, well, that's a fantastic question.
So how would you describe that to me? Are you still in Valencia?
Yeah.
Are you still working in Barcelona? Is there anything different from what's happening today?
Yeah. I would like to work only as a coach 3 days per week. One day and the other 2 days, I would like one only for writing. I love writing and I don't have much time to do it. And another day for studying. I love studying also, reading books and studying. So that's what I would like to do in 5 years' time. 3 days, one more for reading, one more for writing. Okay? And to slow things down a little bit.
Right. How many hours are you working nowadays, and how many hours would you like to work?
Well, now I'm really busy, so probably every day I have 8 hours with clients per day. Different clients, workshop, one-to-one, sometimes even a class when I give lessons at universities, conferences. So, yeah, it might be 8 hours, from 6 to 8, but think that you have to prepare the, as you know, you have to prepare the sessions, you have to write conclusions down, send that to the client, so everything is ready for the next one. So it's quite busy. It's really enjoyable, but it's busy.
So in your perfect future, would it be fewer hours?
Fewer hours and more time to write and to read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But still here.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think about going abroad. It's probably, I was a visiting professor in Amsterdam for a period of time, and I really enjoyed it. I went 5 consecutive years for 2 or 3 weeks per year, and I really enjoy it. But at the moment, it's not something that I really looking forward to doing, probably because I have enough changes in my life lately, so that's enough.
So what's the next big challenge?
Yeah, the next big challenge, that's also a good question. I think I would like to be recognized as one of the biggest experts in Spain in my topic, in effectiveness for top executives, for that niche. I really get along with top executives, CEOs, board of directors, entrepreneurs, lawyers who manage their own office. So I would like to be really focused on that target and to be one of the recognized or well-known at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how would you know that you reached that?
Well, first step is already reached, which is to have a consistent group of clients and that you work with them for a long period of time. No? I have big clients that I'm working already with them a couple of years. So the board of directors, every time there's a new member of the exec team, I have to coach him or her for 3 months. And once a while they ask me for sessions to remind concepts and to go for assessments. So, I can tell you that projects, new projects and challenging projects arrive, so that's one thing. Second thing is that, for example, my book, Liderate, which is a book about this topic, is already in its 4th edition, so the book is being bought and it had a good, it was well received by the market. So that and to probably to have some more presence in media, something that I'm also working and for example, last week Forbes called me for an article. Mediaset, which is a big publishing a group in Spain also.
What's the first one that you said?
Forbes.
Forbes. Forbes. You mean like Forbes?
Forbes. F-O-R-B-E-S.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay. There is Forbes Spain, probably,
Yeah,
okay.
Forbes. It was for Forbes Spain. Mm-hmm. And also Mediaset, which is which they are the owners of Telecinco. Also, they are going to launch a new publishing company about it's going to be called Uppers, which is for people over their 40s, and I'm going to be one of the writers for this publishing. They already asked me for 3 articles, so to keep on working on this path and at the same time enjoying. One of my smartest clients, they told me, Agustin, the day that I don't see your eyes shining, I will tell you. But they really shine. Is that right in English also, that expression?
Yeah. Yes.
Because you give us so much energy with that approach. So I want to enjoy this much for the rest of my career, that I expect that lasts a lot, and I can be enjoying that much when I will be in my 70s, for example.
Right. So you're saying that for you to know that you achieved that challenge of yours, your book would be even more recognized? Is there one special media or a certain number of books sold? I don't know. Is there something more?
No, in Spain, this industry is not as in the States, that is huge. Here, it's not that big, but yeah, if you keep on...
Is it in English already?
No, it's in Spanish.
That's something you should work on.
Yeah, I thought about it, and you could really help me in that, but I don't know, because, for example, I haven't made anything to sell it in South America. For example, it's a huge market. In Spanish, except in Brazil, in the rest of the countries, it's a Spanish language. So, first, I should target South America market.
Yeah, because it's already in Spanish.
There's much to do. If I'm honest, I'm only with this topic. If I'm honest, nearly 3-4 years maximum. So, everything has gone really quick. So, step by step, now I'm going to launch the app for the methodology also. Some of my clients are waiting for it, and I keep on working with different projects apart of my coaching sessions. So
the app is for the second book?
No, it's for the first book.
Ah, it's for the first book, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The app is going to be called Liderati?
Well, it's going to call Fase App.
Fase
for the methodology.
Okay. Oh, so Fase was the first book. Liderate is the second.
No. Liderate is the first book about the Fase methodology.
Okay.
Okay. And the second book is going to call Effective Resilience.
Both are on the methodology.
No. First one is in the methodology. Second one is about how to overcome a big crisis in your life. So it gives you 10, call it competencies, resources that you can work in advance. So when problems arrive, you are much more ready for it.
Right.
Yeah.
So
one of them is to be really effective.
Okay. So what are the 10 steps? Do you know them by heart?
Yeah. I'll try to remember.
That's good. You have to say all 10 in 1 minute.
I'm too tired already. I had a party last night.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, first of all, is what we mentioned already. You have to define your personal and professional purpose. Second one is you have to assume your responsibility. Third one is you have to be, you have to reach a realistic optimism point or approach. You have to be optimistic from a realistic point of view. Four, you have to define your goals and your action plan. Fifth, you have to improve your physical energy. Six, you have to check weekly and monthly your advances and to correct or improve if it's necessary. Seventh is, I don't remember.
I know, I was expecting you not to remember because no, 10 yeah. is a lot.
I could.
What's the last one?
The last one is,
I think it's good that you don't remember because then people listening are going to be curious.
Yeah.
About these last.
Yeah, yeah,
three.
Yeah. Last one. I'm lost.
Yeah.
I'm lost.
Well, don't,
you're provoking me a lot. So.
Well, don't worry because this interview is going to be connected with a link.
Okay.
And in the link,
yeah,
we'll
yeah,
put
yeah,
the
yeah.
10.
Fantastic.
So it's a good excuse for people yeah. to have to go check
exactly.
the link.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I did that on purpose.
Yeah, I'm yeah, sure yeah, you yeah, did. Yeah, I'm sure yeah. you did. So when we were coming here, you met my brother.
Yeah.
And my baby.
Yeah.
And my brother.
So I'm good just, looking.
Good looking,
the
isn't
baby,
he?
Yeah.
And my brother too.
Well.
The whole family. Really, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can
say that.
I'm gonna use him as an example.
Yes.
My brother is 28.
Yes.
And he's gonna hate that I used him as an example if
yeah.
he listens to this. So we can't tell him. But he decided to make a career transition.
Yes.
It takes a lot of courage to do what he did. And so after 3 years working for a big company in Brazil.
Yes.
In a business where if he continued, he could make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think he was making a lot of money for his age already, but he decided to, which makes him even more, you need to have more courage. So he quit because he wasn't happy in Brazil. He wasn't happy sitting at a desk.
Good.
12 hours a day, having to have
good.
Lunch at the desk,
good.
You know. He wants a little bit more. He wants to be the owner a little bit more of his schedule.
Yes.
So, and he wants to come to Europe. So for a guy, you know, a younger
yes.
version, because we're already in our 40s, but a guy who's in his 20s.
Yes.
What suggestions would you, in a person that is not happy with their career
yeah.
and who wants to make a career change?
First thing is the 10th.
Those 10 steps are
yeah,
the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the 10th one, the one you asked me for, that listening to you and thinking about your brother, it came into my mind. It's improve on a daily basis your emotional energy.
And emotional energy. What do you call emotional energy?
Emotional energy is your capacity to make your emotions work and help you in your life versus the opposite, which is when your emotions kill you, when your emotional state does not help you to reach your goals. So first you have to be able to be aware of your emotional state. And second, you have to develop your muscle, your biceps of how to manage your emotions in the right way. Something easy to be understood, much more difficult to be implemented.
Can you give me an example of
yeah,
how one can do that?
Absolutely, absolutely. For example, you wake up in the morning and you feel sad and you feel anxious about your future. So you start thinking about it in an obsessive way. And what can you do? Nothing, which is you are going to keep on thinking about that ruminant thinking, is that right? Ruminant?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Ruminant, like you're in a vicious circle thinking about that all the time, and I'm going to be able to overcome this problem. I will ruin my life. I shouldn't have quit my previous job, what I'm going to do, blah, 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 and that kills you the whole day.
Yes.
But, so you can do here three things. You cannot say, I feel anxious and sad, please, I want to switch to happy and want to challenge my, be challenging and no. The only thing you can do is to use your words, your actions, and your beliefs. So that's, if you feel sad in the morning, go for a walk. Talk in a positive way, not in a destructive way. And try to think about good things, for example, your strengths, your values for the Europe market, in the case of your brother. Mm-hmm. What can I offer to a big market like the European, or to big companies like the European ones, that I know really well my country, Brazil, which is a big country that Europe is trying to reach and trying to face. So, for example, that would be a positive belief versus a, I don't know what I'm going to do in Europe to relaunch my career. So that's an example. I don't know if
I agree. I think the big challenge when we're younger is that we don't have a lot of experience, like when we're older, right? Because all the companies want experience, and these kids leaving the university and they don't have the experience yet. So
everything is a question of probability. I'm positive that at the moment, and after talking to your brother and seeing him, he has chances in Europe, for sure. But as long as he's able to provoke many contacts and many and to have many leads, he will find his opportunity. So he has to, first, he has to discover his strengths, to see from those strengths the one who makes sense for the European market, and also to introduce the things that he likes the most. So that intersection between what I'm good at, what I like doing, and what the market is willing to pay for is your element. This is a Ken Robinson concept.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. And as always, pen and paper. Second, he has to understand how the labor market works in Europe. And that takes time. He has to write down a plan to know that. Who should I talk to? How am I going to execute that plan on a weekly basis? Third, contacts. Every week I have to see 2-3 people that know the market and can give me insights that are going to be really useful for reaching that new job or position. But as always, if on Fridays you reflect about what you did last week and you didn't know what you should, get worried. But if you did what you should have done, don't worry, because life always will bring you the opportunity.
The universe takes care of it,
absolutely,
right?
But from an action plan.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I always tell people to make a list of the 10 companies or the 10 projects that they would like to work with. Not necessarily work for, but work with. Because I think that we need to choose, not wait to be chosen. I tell them, it's like going to a party. You're single. There are a bunch of interesting people. Are you going to be just beautiful, looking sexy, and wait for somebody to come talk to you? Or are you going to, in the first 5 minutes of the party, see who do I want to meet here, and build a strategy to attack?
That's the attitude,
right? I think it's the same thing in the corporate or in the
absolutely.
Do you agree with that? So a list of companies and then a list of people.
Yeah, but with some sense. Example. If now I tell you I would like to become a professor in the US, in MIT or in Harvard, that doesn't make any sense, eh? Because there are many, many, many people who are more prepared for that. And so, but if now I feel bored about my work and I'm thinking about, could I have any chance to go to a European university to give lessons and to work for them? Probably, I've got my PhD in management, I have exec experience. I also have some topic that I'm kind of an expert. So now I have to see where that could make, could offer them value so they will hire me. And once I have that, it's a question of probability. If I try to reach 30 potential people who could hire me, my chances will be medium. If I try to reach 60, my chances will be higher. Finding a job is the same that selling. Common sense, hard work, persistence, and probability. That's it.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. That's a good analogy. Great. So we have 5 more minutes here to finish. And you talked about the phase, the 4 focus.
Attention.
Attention, energy.
And systematize.
Systematize energy. And I like the word resilience also. Yeah. I think that's very important. And I know you give workshops, and you told me you gave a talk to 500 people.
Yeah. Last week.
Actually, where can people find, if people want to know more about you and they want to listen, is there anything in the internet that they can?
Yeah, yeah.
Where should people start?
My webpage is agustinperalt.es. .es.
.es.
Yeah, and they can find my. There are some, there's a blog with articles and they can find some info about what I do also. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If they want to watch, do you have the habit of doing, do you record?
Yeah, there's also YouTube.
It's in your website.
YouTube, there's some videos so they can also watch them. They're in Spanish, that's the only thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So about the methodology, I guess that you would like me to explain this for, it's acronym for pillars, what they are about.
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah. Let's just start for the last word, last letter, which is E, energy. As we mentioned before, we do not manage time, we manage energy. Because when your energy improves, the quality of your time is much better. So you can find people that work in 6 hours with a fantastic level of energy equals 10 or 11 hours of others with bad energy.
Yes.
So there's much to do about improving our physical, emotional, and cognitive energy. Physical, as we know, is eat well, sleep well, and go for sports. And some other things, but we don't have time, so. Emotional is what we mentioned when we were talking about your brother at the end. If you don't manage your emotions in the right way, emotions can kill your productivity because that drops your capacity. If you're anxious, there's cortisol. If you're stressed, there's cortisol. And cortisol affects your cognitive capacities, your memory drops, you are irritable, and you don't have your potential capacities in a proper way. And at the end, and finally, which is cognitive capacity, there's much written about this, that our IQ can grow through diversity, through reading. It's your case. You are a person who has traveled a lot, who keeps on provoking new challenges and new experiences all the time. So for sure, that way of life has improved your capacities and even your IQ. And that's the good thing about it. So that's energy. Let's go for the F, focus.
I'm gonna interrupt you for a second. I was gonna ask you about traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Because when people are where you were in 2012, with low energy and complaining, and depressed and mm-hmm. watching Netflix, as you said, I tell them, take a break.
Absolutely.
And go travel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Buy a plane ticket instead of whatever. And go spend 3 months, especially if you can go by yourself.
Yeah.
And my life, now that you mentioned my travels, my life changed a lot after I started my digital nomad thing and changing countries, and especially when I hit Thailand, when I started meditating and doing 10-day silence.
That's personal growth. That's amazing.
So I always tell them, you know, can you go to Thailand and do my favorite let's start with a 6-day silence at the retreat. And people sometimes think that I'm crazy. They're
no,
like,
but
you're crazy.
Well, we don't have to go that
far.
That far. It's not necessary sometimes. So when you hear that and say, "Whoa, that's too much for me." Okay, don't worry. Go to the forest, walk in the forest once a week. Go to the beach, walk in the beach once a week. Start little by little, but do something different. Change your activities. That's it. Diversity always brings value. Always. There's nothing worse than
routine.
Yeah. And doing.
I mean, routine is great in one side of it.
Yeah.
But
when things go wrong, the routine that you have is not good. You are in your comfort zone, and your comfort zone, the only thing that brought you is sadness and problems. So you have to change it. But you don't have the energy, you don't have the emotional state that you need for doing that. So there's triple effort, but that's life. Resilience, you mentioned that before. I like to define it in a really easy sentence. Be better when things get worse. That's it. A definition would be to overcome problems and challenges and to have a consequent better state than before, something like that. But be better when things get worse. So F, I get back to the methodology. F is focus. Focus, this is the core part of the methodology, is both things. Be efficient, which is not to waste time. You have to pay attention to time robbers and bad habits. When people tell me I have lack of time, is that right? Yeah, I say that we don't have lack of time. What we have is too many distractions.
Social media, right? Well,
social media, WhatsApp, internet, interruptions from others. Oof. I could mention you many things. Excess of perfectionism, and so on. So, lack of time. Try to improve, and for sure, you will recover time. And second is that time that we now have, we have to be able to focus on the widely important things to reach your goals. Something that many people think that they know, but they do not know it because they didn't have the time to write it down and to think about it on a monthly basis. Every month, we should check what's the most important things I should go for next month. Third is A, for attention. Attention means what Cal Newport says or create the concept of deep work versus shallow work. Is your capacity to work,
to be mindful.
Yeah, to be mindful and to work for some period of time with no interruptions and quality. Something that we never do
put your phone on airplane mode.
Exactly. And I want you 45 minutes with full attention. A muscle that we do not have, which is to be able to work in some periods of time with the work. And it means full attention on the wildly important things.
Right.
And the last one is to systematize, which is to be able to have some rituals and habits, and that our automatic pilot will drive us to be productive. And both with yourself and with the people you work with. We do not decide our future. We decide our habits, and our habits decide and create our future. So we have to build the right habits. Something, because many of these concepts are easy to be understood, much more different to be implemented and to have them as habits.
Give me an example of a habit that you have in the morning that makes your day better.
I never leave the hotel without a 45 minutes period of deep work on any wildly important thing. For example, writing a new book. For example, preparing a really important proposal for a client. For example, reading and taking notes on a topic that I have to improve.
So 45 minutes of deep work before you leave your house or your hotel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have my trigger, which is when I always have breakfast, the final thing is pineapple. So pineapple moment is, at this moment, my deep work moment starts.
That's interesting. Why pineapple?
Well, I like pineapple.
Hi, Agustin, you're so funny. Okay. Well, it's been very, very interesting to talk to you. We've been working together online.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know that I'm a big fan of my online. I miss this kind of interaction, you know, face to face. But it's just, especially now that I'm a mom and I'm a single mom, commuting, and I wouldn't be able to have all my clients in Brazil. Do you do a lot of online work?
Not that much. Sometimes I do, but not that much.
Would you like to do more, or are you happy not having to do it?
Good question. It depends on the client sometimes. Some clients I need to be present, because if not...
If I told you that you could stay here in Valencia and go to Barcelona, let's say 1 week per month, and the rest of the time you would stay here, would you feel as excited as you are with your career nowadays? Or do you think that traveling is part of the excitement?
Yeah, traveling is part of the excitement. And when you travel, new things come, and the contact is important. And also, I don't suffer when I am in a hotel by myself. I find it even interesting for some time.
A lot of writers go to hotels to get their books written, right?
Absolutely. That's the sanctuary too.
And even for relationships, like you and Anna have this beautiful relationship, and she's also an amazing, I wouldn't say businesswoman because she's a dentist, but she has a great career.
Yeah.
And
much better than mine.
I always talked about this with her, and I was like, it's great. I think I would love to have a relationship with where my boyfriend has to be in a different city some days per week, because then it gives you time to develop some of your own individual life, right? You found a great...
For me, it's everything that, but some people need to be all the time together. That depends on your own personality, your previous life. So if I'm honest, I think, you know, as long as there are givers and takers, there are also farmers and hunters. Right? Hunters look for novelty, new experiences. They don't like to repeat things every week. Farmers, they want to do every single day and every single week the same. So depending on your personality, you have to do it. If you tell me you are going to be here in Valencia 3 weeks per month, poof, you saw my face. I was like, no way, eh? No way. Eh? And
but it is the perfect city for the weekends, don't you think?
Exactly, exactly.
Especially when we have a family.
Yeah, exactly. And good weather.
I love Valencia more and more. Look at where we are here, and it's just beautiful. Agustin, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really enjoyed, but I'm tired.
You're tired?
Yeah, you asked me many tough questions.
Well, we can do it. We can do a second round where you're going to be asking the questions if you want. But today I was the interviewer.
I will kill you if I do that, to give you back this.
You know that the podcast is called Inspiring Careers. And it's interesting because it used to be called Exciting Careers. Mm-hmm. And after I started meditating and I started going to Thailand and I interviewed a monk. Mm-hmm. And they were telling, we were talking about the difference between exciting and inspiring. Mm-hmm. And I really prefer the word inspiring.
It's again the same that we talk about the purpose. It's to give to others, which is the biggest secret in life, to give to others without expecting anything in return.
Yeah. Right?
That gives you oxytocin, endorphins, dopamine.
I prefer to be inspired than to be excited,
I think.
So you have really inspired me, and I'm sure you're going to inspire many more people with your books and with this conversation we had.
Thank you, Mariana.
So until
a big pleasure.
Until next time.
Okay.